Hey, folks. This is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are. Whatever part of the day you're in, I sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time, a little piece of your day. I'm very glad for those of y'all that continue to come back. Episode after episode, thank you so much. I hope that you're getting something out of it. For those of y'all that are just joining us for the first time, I'm very glad that you're here. And I hope that you get a little bit out of it. Hope it gives you something to talk about with your friends. Hope that you're able to, or with your spouse, your parents, your children. And I hope that it draws our nation and each of us back a little bit closer to God. So, homestead, oh, not a lot. We got to get this, we got rain coming again, and it's delaying work on the duck coop as well as my laziness is also delaying work on the duck coop. But we got to get it done because we got to get some chicks. We have one too many roosters and not enough hens, which is also can be a bad thing. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the time to record this podcast and the people that listen to it and share it, be with them and their families. Guide us. Bless us indeed. Surround us with your angels. Protect us from evil of any kind. Help us to seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness first. Help us to love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. To love our neighbors as ourselves. Be with our leaders. Help us to turn back to you as a nation, to choose men for leaders who rule in fear of you. Help us to follow the commands of your Son, Jesus Christ, in action and not just word. Give us courage. Give us a strong faith. And help us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven with you, Father, not here on earth where moth and rust destroy. And guide my words, Father, please. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Have you read your Bible today? For a few minutes at least, have you prayed? Even just for a few minutes, folks. If you haven't, you turn the podcast off and go do that. We'll still be here, I promise. And if you're married, are you making sure that you're doing whatever you can to make your spouse know they are your second priority each day after God? And this next part is really hard, folks. It's I'm not good at it. I'm working on it. Us making our spouse our second priority each day really should have no dependency on whether our spouse is doing the same. Which is why, young people that are listening, if you're not married, when you look for a spouse, it's so, so important to yoke yourself, as the description in the Bible, right? Like a pair of oxen, right? Because once you get married, you really are, you're yoked together. And this no-fault divorce idea is, it doesn't work out well either, folks, just getting divorced because we don't feel like loving our spouse anymore. So once you get married, that's it. That's all she wrote. And so it's extremely important, male or female, to make sure that the person that you're marrying loves God more than you, loves you more than themselves, and who you are willing to love more than yourself. That ought to be three things that we tell our kids across the nation. And we ought to focus on it way more, folks, than athletics or academics or careers. All of those things end and go away. Your spouse, if we do it right, your spouse is supposed to be there forever. That's a lifelong commitment till you die. I mean, why would we not focus on teaching our children how important that is? So much more important than what degree we get, what college we go to, what sports we play, what our grades are. All of those things pale in comparison to who we choose as a spouse, which in itself pales in comparison to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Those two things, our faith first by far, and then our marriage second, they ought to be so far ahead of everything else each day in our priorities that it's hard to even see the other stuff, folks. So, 1931, Supreme Court case again. Oh, I meant to do this. Founders Bible. I'm pulling a lot of these quotes out of there today. You can find them other places. America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations is a good one. American Patriot Bible, edited by Dr. Richard G. Lee. Library of Congress online. Avalon Project online. The President, I think it's the President Project or the Presidency Project online. Those are also really good resources for a bunch of different stuff. You know, this America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations is, let me see real quick. Yeah, it's, when you get through with the bibliography and stuff, it's over 800 pages long. And it's still just scratching the surface. I'm amazed at how many other things I run across. We really need a multi-volume set of these references back to God and Christianity in our nation's history. Like if you're old enough to remember the old sets of encyclopedias, right? My parents had a couple sets when I was young. We need basically an encyclopedia, like he said here, Federer, in this book, an encyclopedia of quotations, but we need it to be a multi-volume set, folks. I mean, we need to have this stuff in a place so you can look it up, something that's updated each year, that you can actually pick up a copy and flip to it. That would be just, there would have to be a labor of love, but that would be a huge boon to our nation to have that accessible. And these couple Bibles in this book are great. I mean, it's a great start. But at any rate, dreams, right? So 1931 Supreme Court decision. We are a Christian people, according to one another, the equal right of religious freedom, and acknowledging with reverence the duty of obedience to the will of God. This is the conundrum. Not, it's not a conundrum, but this is the two sides of the same coin, maybe, if you will. I'm not sure juxtaposition or some variant of that word is applicable here, but we can only survive as a nation with freedom and liberty if we follow the principles of Christ as a Christian people. That doesn't mean that you have to choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to be an American, although cannot recommend it enough. And logically, if you're a logical person, you would really want to do that. If this nation is so great that you've come here, you would want to go, okay, well, why is it so great? Well, the principles, the values, right? We've talked about that often. If you love a country, you love her values. Well, what are the values of America at its founding? Well, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Christ. Okay, well, who's this Christ guy? Well, he's the Son of God. Okay, well, what did he say? Well, he said the two greatest commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, right? And to love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, well, if I like this country so much, if it's so much better than all these other places that I'm willing to move here, little side note, you might want to fly the flag here from America if you're going to move here, as opposed to, you know, say, continuing to fly, I don't know, maybe like the Mexican flag or something like that. If you want to move here, then maybe assimilate. Otherwise, probably a pretty good idea just to go back home. But so, you know, what are the values? The values are the values of Christ. So, well, maybe I ought to develop a relationship with this guy. Well, maybe you should. You know, you would think logically that if you moved here and you saw this stuff, that you would want to choose Jesus Christ, choose to believe in him as the Son of God, choose to have him as your Lord and Savior. But even if you don't, that's why our founders set up religious freedom. However, the huge caveat is that if we go away from God, if we reject God and his Son Jesus Christ, we lose it all. And that's exactly what you see today, folks. It's so clear the farther we've gotten away from God. We talked about this in the last podcast, right? If we were a godless nation, if we were a secular nation, a deist nation, then we ought to be thriving today because we've gotten farther away from God. I mean, we ought to be firing on all cylinders today across the board. Our judicial system ought to be top-notch. Our law enforcement ought to be top-notch. Our education should be the best in the entire world. I mean, we ought to be just doing, batting 1,000 almost, if we were really founded as a godless nation, and if our free institutions could really survive, were really built to survive under godlessness or just random deity. But we're not. You don't see that. Our marriages are struggling. Our families are struggling. Our churches are struggling, which that would make sense. Our churches would struggle in a godless nation. Our institutions, I mean, you're not going to find very many people out there that think that the Senate and the House are doing a bang-up job, or that the Supreme Court's doing a bang-up job, or that we're just educating our children just the absolute best possible way. We're not. We're just not. And the reason is because we have rejected our founding on the gospel of Christ. And so it fits that everything's struggling. And they put a couple of state court case comments in here. There's so many folks, which is why I say we really, that would just be an absolute phenomenal labor of love, kind of like Webster's Dictionary. Our laws and institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and institutions are emphatically Christian. I'm looking at the state here that this came out of, and I think some of y'all are going to be quite shocked. This is 1883, but this is from the Supreme Court of Illinois. Our laws and institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer. Capitalized, meaning Jesus Christ of mankind. Laws and institutions, folks. They're not saying that we're a secular nation that doesn't want anything to do with God and Jesus Christ. They're absolutely not approving of the modern concept of separation of church and state, which twisted Jefferson's words. They're absolutely 100% the opposite of that. Our laws and institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind, the teachings of Christ. So if we don't have the teachings of Christ, as the basis, the foundation for our laws and our institutions, then we're going to fall apart. In the next sentence, they said it is impossible that it should be otherwise. Well, it's not impossible because we're doing it today. What they meant, though, is that in order to maintain freedom and liberty, it's impossible. Now, that is absolutely what we see today. We see that it's impossible. We're failing across the board. Look at our Department of Justice today. Look at our Department of Education today. Our schools across the nation, our courts across the nation, our law enforcement agencies across the nation. Would you call them successful? Look at our military. Look at what's going on in our military today. That's really disturbing, folks, if you haven't been following some of these manpower shortages and just the hollowing out of our military. We have less and less people of character who are willing to go into or send their sons and daughters into the military. Which sons and daughters is part of the problem to begin with. But anyway, that's a whole nother discussion. And they end again, and in the sense, and to this extent, our civilization and institutions are emphatically Christian. Not secular, not communist, socialist, not deist, not Buddhist, not Muslim, not Hindu, not Jewish, not atheist, not mother naturist. Christian. Another state court. Democracy is the outgrowth of Christianity. Although the constitutional decree of freedom of religion and worship embraces any faith, ours is a Christian nation. That sums up the whole divide right there, folks. Our founders knew that you could not force a man to faith, or away from a faith, or to no faith. You had an inherent right. God gave us free will. He gave us the ability to choose Jesus Christ or to reject him. And our founders knew. I mean, that's one of the things that proves the point that we're founded, we're based on the gospel of Christ, is free will. They knew that men had to be able to choose religion, whatever faith they wanted, whether it was true, and it was God and Jesus Christ, or it was false and it was anything else, they had to be able to make that choice. Had to have that freedom. That's the freedom of religion part. That's the part that says that any citizen can choose any faith they want. But if we want a constitutional republic, if we want freedom, if we want liberty, it comes from Christianity. And they said, and ours is a Christian nation. This is from the Kentucky Court of Appeals in 1945. Notice that that's 2 years before the separation of church and state decision by the Supreme Court. Ours is a Christian nation. Just 2 years. It's just... that quote from Winston Churchill, I wish I had it in front of me again. It's so true in so many different scenarios. But, you know, if he said, if people want to be ruled by fools, they ought to be able to choose that. But that doesn't make folly wisdom. That doesn't make foolishness wisdom. We have the ability to reject God and Jesus Christ, and we're doing a bang up job of it. But that doesn't make it smart. That doesn't mean it's a good idea to do it. One more. Our great country is denominated a Christian nation. We imprint in God we trust on our currency. Our state has even sometimes been referred to by cynics as being in the, quote, Bible Belt, end quote. It cannot be denied that much of the legislative philosophy of this state and nation has been inspired by the Golden Rule and the Sermon on the Mount and other portions of the Holy Scriptures. Mississippi Supreme Court, 1950, notice that that's 3 years after separation of church and state, and you're already starting to see a little waffling there, right? Much of the legislative philosophy. But when you go back to the Illinois Supreme Court comment in 1883, our laws and institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. There's no partial there. There was no waffling. God bless y'all, your families, your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.